Well, good morning, everybody. It's been quite an amazing week, really, hasn't it, when we think of the news and what's been going on. We've got a new Prime Minister. There have been ministers going and ministers coming. Various events and worries and concerns. What's going to happen in the future? Is Brexit going to take place? Will the end of October mean that we leave Europe? And then if we go a bit further afield in the world, we think of what's going on in the Middle East. British tanker taken by Iran. And how's that going to impact? Are things going to work out that Britain takes action against Iran? What about America and President Trump sounding off with his various comments? And as you think about it and consider the events that are going on, I'm sure at the bottom of your heart you think, well, where's it all going to end? What's going to happen? Is the world really going to go on like this? And looking back in history, of course, really things, there's nothing new in the world as to what is going on. That there are problems and there are difficulties, nations fighting against nations, concerns, man's selfishness, man's greed, man's wickedness. And when we all think, when we think about all of this, we think, well, what about our own positions? Where do we stand? What is our future? Are we going to continue as we are and then die and have no hope whatsoever? Well, of course, when we turn to the Word of God, to the Bible, there is a hope there for each of us, a hope of salvation, a hope of everlasting life, and of having our sins forgiven. But you may say, well, why is it that we should turn to the Bible and think about it and look to it? I mean, it's a book that was written over many years. The last writer wrote nearly 2,000 years ago. And surely now, in 2019, is this really a book for today? But as you look at the Bible, you find that there is a message for each of us. That it is God's living word speaking to you and to me, showing us the way forward and what we should do to please God. How we should try to return to God that love that he has shown to us in giving us life in the first place. And so we should heed the message of God. But is the Bible, all of it, really true? And there are various reasons why we can accept that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, that it is a miraculous book, the fact that we have it today and can read it so freely. There are various reasons we can think about archaeology and about science, the oneness of its message. But this morning we want to just think about one small aspect, and that's aspect of prophecy. Of the way that God has spoken and said that things would happen and they have come to pass. We need to turn, of course, to the Bible because the Bible is breathed out by God, as Paul said to Timothy. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished, may know all about salvation, might receive the salvation that is there through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had those words read by way of introduction from Peter's letter that he wrote, because there Peter shows us the work of the prophets and speaks about it. Would you come back to that first chapter of the second letter of Peter? And Peter realized that he was shortly going to be leaving them, that his time was coming when he was to die. And he wanted to leave them consolation, and he wanted to show them of the where they could put their trust, of where they could learn about God and the righteous word of God. And so he says in verse 15, I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. He wanted them to remember what he had to say, because he says, of what he was speaking about, it was not cunningly, he says, cleverly devised myths in verse 16, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Peter had been there with Jesus. He had been one of the disciples and had followed him through the ministry. And now he is saying, this is what you should follow, the word of Jesus, because we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, the wonderful works that the Lord Jesus Christ. But particularly, so far as Peter was concerned, he had one miraculous event in his life that he could remember. He says, verse 17, for when he received honour and glory from God the Father, and the voice of God was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And Peter had been there at the Transfiguration and heard and seen that. Here was God working through the Lord Jesus Christ and that voice of God that spoke about Jesus and the work with he was doing, as he says, for we were with him in the holy mountain in verse 18. But more than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes on to say in verse 19, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Because that's the hope that he was speaking about, and that's the hope that we can all have of the future, when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And God's will be fulfilled and God's kingdom will be established upon the earth. This prophetic word. And the prophets were a group of men and women who spoke forth the word of God. We often think of prophets being people that speak of the future, and that was something that they did. And if you look in Deuteronomy, there's a verse there that says that this is the way that you can tell a prophet is sent by God, because what he says comes to pass and comes true. And that's what we're really thinking about this morning. But more than this, a prophet came to speak the word of God, to show the people what they were doing and what they needed to do to turn to God. And those words come down to us, of the way that we should turn to God. We should respond to God's word. So whatever's happening in the world today, we can have a wonderful hope for the future, that these things that are happening in the world and man's wickedness will be things of the past, and God's will be done upon the earth, and Jesus will return as king and be king over God's kingdom upon the earth. And so Peter says it's a lamp shining in a dark place. This is God speaking to us like a bright light. Verse 20, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but God spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's power was working through these men and these women, these prophets of old, that they were speaking, not their own words, but God was speaking through them. They were, as it were, God's mouthpiece, speaking forth the word of God. It wasn't produced by the will of man, but this was God's will and God's purpose. And so this morning we'd just like to think about a few of the prophecies, and if you go through the word of God, there's a whole host of them that we could think about. But we want to think about just a few, and first of all we'd like to think about one prophecy that we've given that is probably quite familiar to many of us, and that's in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. And this was in the time when Daniel the prophet was in Babylon. Babylon had come against the nation of Israel and had carried them captive into Babylon. Babylon was under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar, a great king, had established a great power and a great authority. And then one night he had this very strange dream. It was more like a nightmare, really. And then he had forgotten it. He called all his wise men to tell him what the dream was all about. And there was only one man that could do that, and that was the prophet Daniel, because it was revealed to him by God. Later on, Daniel was to say how that God moves and God works and God is moving in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And this is an outworking of that purpose of God, God showing what he was going to do in the future. Verse 28 of chapter 2. This is Daniel speaking. He says, "There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these." So Daniel, through the purpose of God and God speaking through him, was able to show Nebuchadnezzar the great dream that he had had. He says, verse 29, "To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be." So God was in this dream showing Nebuchadnezzar what would happen. And Daniel says, "As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind," so that Nebuchadnezzar would know. And Daniel was giving these thoughts and telling of what was to happen and what was in that dream. Verse 31, "You saw, O king, and behold, a great image." And he speaks about this great image, mighty and of exceeding brightness. Its appearance was frightening. The head of the image was of fine gold, its chest of arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. A great image. A great image, but made up of various metals, going right down to the very bottom, and its feet of iron and of clay. And I suppose you could say that would be very unstable indeed. But what did it all mean, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has had? And Daniel explains it. Verse 36. "This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given wherever they dwell, the children of men, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold." So immediately Nebuchadnezzar could see where he was in this pattern, that he was the head of gold, surpassing right at the very top gold. "But then another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth, and shall be a fourth kingdom." And so the various kingdoms were to follow, as signified by the various metals. And when we think about history, these metals that were used here in this image were so correct and symbolic of the nations that were to follow after the Babylonian Empire. After Babylon, there came a new empire, the Medo-Persians, silver, the breast and arms of silver. And followed by that, there was the Greeks, and they were known as the brazen-coated Greeks, and that part of the image was made of brass. And then after that came the legs of iron, the iron power of Rome, and finally the feet of iron and clay. And when we think about it, after the reign of the Romans, there has been no great power that has had power over the then known earth. No world power, it's been mixing. And so there's been various nations that have tried to get supremacy and have not achieved it. And that comes right down to the present time today. We have a time when there is a mixed up, there is nobody in complete control, apart, of course, from God, who is overseeing all and knows the end from the beginning. But when Daniel gave this interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar of the dream that he had had, there was a stone at the end that grew larger and larger and crushed that great image and ground it to powder. And that is surely speaking of the time that is to come and the time that we are looking forward to, verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to the end, and shall stand forever. And that's the kingdom that we're looking forward to. And just as those various parts of that dream have come to pass, so this future time will come to pass when God's kingdom will be established upon the earth. But what of that nation of Babylon that Daniel was speaking to the king Nebuchadnezzar about? Well, in the Bible there were prophecies concerning Babylon itself and what should happen. Would you like to come back in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 13? And we read there what God said would happen to Babylon. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 19. Remember what we said about Babylon, its greatness and its power. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon we've all heard about. It was a great city and a great power. And verse 19 speaks of this. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the splendor and pomp of the Chaldeans, it was all going to go, will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them. It will never be inhabited or lived in for all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherds will make their flocks lie down there. But wild animals will lie down there, and their houses will be full of howling creatures. So this was what was to happen to Babylon. And these words were spoken many years before of the destruction of Babylon, and that came to pass. So that today when we think about Babylon, it is a ruin. It has been discovered by archaeologists. At time people thought there was no Babylon, that this was all with a complete fairy story. But now Babylon's ruins have been found, and it is said that it is a place where the Arabs, where the Bedouins just do not like to go because of the superstitions about the place, that it would be destroyed, a place that nobody would want to live in. The greatness and the splendor and the pomp of Babylon gone. And of course you do hear about it occasionally when there is in the news about Iraq, that this was the area of Babylon on the side of the river Euphrates, but it is a ruin, never to be lived in again. That was what God said would happen to one great nation. But another great nation, he said something else completely different would happen. And this shows how that God works and God moves and God has a plan and a purpose, but also how that his word is sure and certain. Turn over to another prophecy, to the man Ezekiel in chapter 29. And we read about another nation, a nation that is still in the news today. Ezekiel 29 and verse 14. And this was at a time when this nation was having difficulties and problems, and God says about it, I will, verse 14 of Ezekiel 29, I will restore the fortunes of Egypt and bring them back to the land of Pathros, the land of their origin, and they shall be a lowly kingdom. It shall be the most lowly of the kingdoms, and never again exalt itself above the nations. And I will make them so small that they will never again rule over the nations. And think about Egypt. We all know of the greatness of Egypt. Perhaps some of you have been to Egypt and seen the great pyramids and the Sphinx and the various tombs in the Valley of the Kings. A great power that was in existence many years ago. But that is not the power that is to there today. Egypt is there, but as it says here of what God said would happen to it, it would be a lowly power, a small power, just a small nation there, existing and trying to be powerful perhaps sometimes, but not succeeding. And we see that God has spoken through his prophets, inspired them to speak these words, and those words have come to pass. showing that indeed the Word of God is true and correct. And of course, when we think of nations and peoples, the one nation that God particularly spoke about of what was to happen to it was the nation of the Jews. He said of them, "Ye are my witnesses, understand that I am he." And it's a nation that over the years, more recently perhaps, has been very much in the news. An ancient nation that is still with us. If you go back to Deuteronomy, you hear there of God speaking about what would happen to the nation, speaking of blessing and of cursing, speaking of the way that if the nation of Israel responded to God, that they would be blessed, but if they did not, they would be cursed, and that there would be times of fear, times when they would wish it was morning, and when it was morning, they would wish it was evening, times of persecution. And down through the years, that has happened. They have been persecuted, and then of course in the last century we had the Holocaust and the terrible things that happened then. And so one would think that the nation of the Jews would have been exterminated and completely finished. But this was not the purpose of God. He said, "You are my witnesses." And so if we go over to Jeremiah chapter 30, we just read there a few verses of what God says about them. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11. This is God speaking about his people. "For I am with you to save you, declares the Lord. I will make a full end of all the nations among whom I have scattered you, but of you I will not make a full end. I will discipline you in just measure, and I will by no means leave you unpunished." So there was going to be punishment and there was going to be difficulty, but God would still be with them. Or as he says in verse 3 of chapter 30, "For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will bring them back to the land that I gave to the fathers, and they shall take possession of it." And so, as we know, the nation of Israel has been established in the land. They are there. God has brought them back, and people are still returning. God says, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." The nation is the land in the land of Israel. Sadly, they do not accept that God has done this, but the time is coming when they will turn to the Lord God, and when they will accept the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and as their Saviour. And so we've just seen very briefly about what God has said in prophecy about the nations going down through Babylon, Greece, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and to the present day, thinking of Babylon particularly and Egypt, and also of the nation of Israel. And when we see this and the certainty and the assurance there that there is, we can see that this book that we have today is a book to be respected, read, and understood, that here is the message of God. And finally, of course, there were prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. As you go through the Old Testament, there are words spoken about how that he would be born of a virgin. He would be born in the town of Bethlehem. There are verses regarding his death in great graphic detail of what would happen, and speaking also of his resurrection. And so far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, he spoke of the future and said of things that would happen. He spoke of himself, how that he would suffer and die, how that he would be in the grave for 3 days and then he would be raised again. He spoke of the suffering that was to come on the city of Jerusalem, of the way that the city of Jerusalem would be compassed round. and that there would be an opportunity for people to flee when the besieging armies withdrew for a period. And of course, all of that happened. And he was able to do that because God was speaking through him. And so we can see how that these things that have been spoken about come to pass, but there are things still to come to pass. And we can have assurance, and we can have faith in God that he will fulfill his word. That God is holding out an offer of salvation to each of us. And this is the time of opportunity that we should respond to that opportunity of salvation and say, Lord, help me. I need your forgiveness. I will serve you and love you even as you have loved you, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his example.